It is program number 4 in our series of Federal News Radio book clubs, and I am pleased to have a bunch of people in the studio here. First, I'll introduce my colleague, Federal News Radio's Chris Dorabeck. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm well, and I appreciate you not only being here in the studio, but coordinating all of our book club operations for today, as you have for all four of them so far. Passing notes, aren't you?
No, you were. Before we went on, you were talking about the size of my headphones.
Yeah, and they're gigantic.
And I was showing Martha Doris the photo of you and me both with our headphones on, which I will post on Dorabeck Insider this weekend.
Okay, so, good.
Yeah, everyone can make fun of my headphones over the weekend.
Well, make fun of me looking like a big goofball. Talk about our book and our author and our special guest, please.
Yes. So this is the fourth in this series that we've done. And it's so funny because whenever I blog about this and talk about it, people go, well, where do I have to be?
Uh-huh.
No, right there by your radio is just the perfect place to be. I just completely stole this idea from Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
She has her book club, and I thought there are so many good books out there, and there are a lot of them that have good implications and help feds do their jobs better, which is our mission statement. So today's book was actually Ms. Martha Doris, who is the over at GSA. She heads up USA.gov and all the stuff that they're doing over there right now. And so we were talking, and she said, oh, yeah, I'm reading this book, and this author's coming in. And, of course, my little, you know, because there is no off switch on the Dorabeck Genius machine.
No, it's constantly going.
Yeah. And I said, oh, would you be willing to come in and talk about it on our book club? So the book is called Fired Up or Burnt Out. It's by Michael Lee Stallard, and I managed to coax both Martha Doris and the author, Michael Lee Stallard, to come in and join us to talk about it. So I'm very excited to have both of them here.
Well, good on you, and thank you again for putting it together. Martha, welcome to the studio. It's the first time you've been on my show, but you've been a presence on Federal News Radio ever since we've been around, and we appreciate your interest and participation, and I'm really glad that you're here today. What was it about this book? How does this book fit into what you're trying to do as far as managing your team? What about it spoke to you, all that? Tell me a little bit about what makes this important to you.
Well, thank you, Francis. It's a real pleasure to be here today with you and Chris and Michael. And about 2 years ago, as Chris mentioned, I'm in GSA's Office of Citizen Services, and GSA actually did an employee engagement survey. And so the results came in, and anytime you do any kind of engagement or, you know, kind of satisfaction survey, you try to figure out exactly what the employees are trying to tell you. So we put together 5 teams from across the Office of Citizen Services to look at the comments that we got in the survey and to actually kind of dig through all of it and find out what were people trying to tell us. Were they trying to tell me something? Were they trying to tell the administrator something? And so the teams came back with recommendations around visioning, around the organizational culture, training and education, the safety and quality of the workplace, and a lot of issues around communication. So we started having regular all-hands meetings on a quarterly basis. We had a 2-day offsite where we brought everybody together to start doing some more formalized visioning.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm just curious, did those results, any of those surprise you, or were those the things you expected to get some feedback on?
Some of the things really surprised me. I mean, some of them were normal, you know, not everybody's going to be happy in an organization, but, you know, I wanted to create an environment where people felt safe to bring issues up because I felt like they don't go away because you don't acknowledge that they exist.
Yes.
So one of the things that we started was the book club. And in fact, the first book was The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, which also identified a lot of issues that we addressed.
Chris is writing that one down.
But we've done a lot of things around. People wanted to connect with each other in the office or to know more about each other. So that's when we started. We encouraged people about a year ago to get Facebook pages, and we had Facebook training in the office, and it was a way to start, you know, getting people to know each other a little better.
Yeah.
So a lot of other, you know, things around the appraisal system. And I mean, one of the things that surprised me was that people thought there was some kind of quota system for the way appraisals were done. So a lot of it was just opening up the dialogue and the communication so that you could say, no, there really is no, you know, appraisals are given based on, you know, a true assessment of performance. And so as part of the book club, I think this was our third book that we did. And after we read it, we had a meeting within the office of all the employees where we talked about the issues. And then we've also had a meeting with all of our managers to go through each piece of the book. And actually, Michael came in and gave a nice presentation to the group. And then we had a follow-up meeting. So we're all kind of creating our own action plans based on the things that we learned from the book.
So what was it particularly about this book that that touched you and said, hey, it would be good to have us discuss around that table?
Well, you know, I like people. Generally, I like people. I like, you know, relationships.
You hide that well, by the way.
Relationships are very important to me. Connectedness is very important to me. And so when I started reading it, and I think too many times people think that, you know, creating a connected and engaged workforce is really about, you know, being touchy-feely. And so it really resonated with me that, you know, it's really not something that's nice to have. It's really something that you have to have. And so Michael talked about that in his book. And he also talked about the productivity that's lost in this country and the amount of money that's lost based on lost productivity because people don't feel connected and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like there was a really, you know, hardcore business reason for it, too.
And that was one of the things, because I think that happens because most government agencies tend to be large organizations, and often you can be, even if you're a frontline person, you can feel like, okay, how am I relating to the overall mission of this organization? And I think that was a lot of what Michael was talking about in here.
Well, he talked a lot about vision and voice also, and, you know, as you know, we are around, you know, improving the way the government serves the citizen. So I don't have the issue, for the most part, of people feeling, you know, committed and passionate about what we do every day. So we really started with a leg up.
Yeah.
So it's...
I like talking about Michael as if he's not sitting right next to me.
Yeah, which he is. And I apologize for all three of us speaking of you as though you're in Utah or something like that and not even here. Welcome to Federal News Radio. This is a terrific book. I want to talk. My favorite part is the day by day readings, the second half of the book, and I want to talk about some of those and why you thought they were important. We'll do that later on because I know that Chris and Martha have a lot of other things I want to talk to you about. But why, when you started on the process of writing this book, did you think there was an opening in the market for something like this?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Francis and Chris and Martha, nice to be with you again. Well, I would say there were a confluence of factors that really made me realize this was a problem. Number one, I had worked for a couple of decades and as an investment banker on Wall Street, and I saw that so often mergers didn't work, number one. And often it wasn't because of the hard issues. There was certainly a rational case, but it was these soft issues of people feeling like they were left out or that they were being treated as... not having, you know, the dominant party in the merger exhibited some arrogance that made the target feel like they were lesser people in their work, and they resented that.
Yeah.
And these human issues really impaired their ability to work effectively as an organization. Secondly, I had seen great leaders over 20 years and leaders who suck
we're
the
not
life
so great.
Out of
right. I want to read
a
passage.
Research, just to mention it, that when I saw that statistic that 3 out of 4 people over the last decade in America, over 100 million workers, reported that they were not engaged in their jobs, I thought, wow, this is a huge, huge problem.
You had an aha moment that you talk about in the introduction. I want to read this passage and get you to expand on this because it sounds like one of these overnight sensations that took 15 years kind of moments. My interest increased dramatically, your interest in work cultures, in the late 1990s when I became the chief marketing officer for the global private wealth management business of a major international brokerage firm on Wall Street. In that position, I recognized that a key success factor for our business was building strong relationships between our clients and our firm's frontline professionals. And you talked about developing and implementing business practices to keep your people fired up. The result was that our revenues doubled over a 2.5-year period, and our business achieved its first $1 billion revenue year in the firm's history. During that time, I realized my colleagues and I had discovered something special, and that's what you go about expanding on in this book, Fired Up or Burned Out. What was that process, discovering whatever it was that you're talking about there?
Well, I had joined Morgan Stanley. Our firm was acquired. It was a leveraged buyout. We sold the firm to Morgan Stanley. I was previously with an investment management firm called Van Kampen Investments. And after the merger closed, Morgan Stanley offered me the opportunity to head marketing for the private wealth management business. And I moved to New York from Chicago. And I didn't know that business, though. So I had to bring myself up to speed. And one of the things I did.
But it always
was,
sounds, if you're dealing with private wealth management, that sounds like not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
To me.
It's probably decent.
Yeah.
It was interesting to move into a new business. But I didn't know that business so well. I'd been an investment banker. I had worked in the mutual fund business. Very different from wealth management. And this group in Morgan Stanley focused on households that had 10 million plus in investable assets. So very different business than the mutual fund business. What I did is I put together an analysis of the business as I saw it, almost like an analyst would do. Then I went out and I met with sales teams around the world, and I shared with them, here's what I see, but I don't have the same perspective you do. You're on the front lines. Let me share what I'm thinking, and you tell me what's right, what's wrong, what's missing from my thinking. Challenge me. I want to know if you think I'm off course or what you think is the right direction. And I found it was interesting, their reaction was, number one, that it's about time somebody from New York listened to us. And secondly, they said, this is information we've never seen before. And they were very interested in the information I was sharing with them. And once there were some people who thought, you know, it's another guy from New York trying to get buy-in. But there were others who said, yeah, I think he's genuine. He's serious about this.
Might they actually mean
their
it.
Ideas. Yeah. And I found they had great ideas. And when I implemented some of them, I could see them getting fired up over time. And it came to the point where they were proactively calling me with ideas and information about the marketplace. And I had this global network of people on the front lines who were my eyes and ears helping me see where things were developing. And I thought, wow, this is really powerful.
We have to take a break, but this is a terrific conversation. The book is called Fired Up or Burned Out, How to Reignite Your Team's Passion, Creativity, and Productivity. Michael Lee Stallard is my guest in studio on the Federal News Radio Book Club. Martha Doris from the General Services Administration is here, along with my colleague Chris Dorabeck from the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabeck and Amy Morris. And we will be back in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hello, the guy Go Get Go here, and I've got a little secret to tell you. Come a bit closer to the radio. That's good. You ready for this? Geico was not named after me. Nah, it's true. It all came about over 70 years ago when Geico was known as the Government Employees Insurance Company, or GEICO. So if you're a government employee, you should be feeling pretty special about now. That's right. Geico was named after you. And you know what else? You could be eligible for federal employee discounts on car insurance, on top of Geico's already low rates. Plus, 97% of customers say they're satisfied with Geico's service. Well, with all that, who could name a better company for car insurance? Certainly not me.
Well said, my little green friend. This is Mike Causey. If you're a federal employee, this is a great time to find out more about special Geico discounts that may apply to you. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com and see how much you could save.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For full details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $15 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon from Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life Insurance to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $15 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-990-5779. Since 1995, we've helped over 1 million people save money on their term life insurance. Don't you want to know how much we could save you? It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 75%. And the call is absolutely free. Call 1-800-990-5779. That's 1-800-990-5779. 1-800-990-5779.
Are you in sales or do you own your own business? If so, I want you to think of a number. Think of the amount of money you'd like to make this year. Do you have it? Okay, so what's stopping you? It's not your drive. It's not your skills. Chances are it's your ability to find new leads. It's not easy. But what if someone had already done the work for you? What if with one phone call you could get your hands on as many new sales leads as you could handle and actually make that number you have in your head? It's not too good to be true. It's Sales Genie, the largest provider of the most up-to-date sales leads mailing lists and business credit reports. And they want to give you 100 sales leads absolutely free. No matter what you're selling or who you're selling to, Sales Genie has the sales leads and mailing list you need. And right now, they'll give you 100 sales leads absolutely free. Call Sales Genie at 1-800-600-9721 and get 100 sales leads for free. Call 1-800-600-9721. 1-800-600-9721.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and it is our Federal News Radio Book Club, as set up by my colleague Chris Dorovec. Our book this month is Fired Up or Burned Out, How to Reignite Your Team's Passion, Creativity, and Productivity. And we are digging into it with the author, Michael Lee Stollard, and Martha Doris from the General Services Administration, who recommended it to us. And thank you for a terrific recommendation, Martha. It's been a lot of fun to read it, and I took a lot away from it, which is really important when you're trying to put something out there for example, your peers to do as well. What is it about either your personal, where you are in life, or your managerial style or whatever, that causes you to want to focus so much on the people that are around you rather than I'm going to be the best that I can be in that? I don't get that sense from you.
Well, I thank you again for being here. But I think you get to a certain place in life and in your career where, you know, you're looking for opportunities to give back. And I've been extremely, you know, lucky and fortunate over the past couple of years to have a great job. And I just wanted to, you know, just it really didn't start out this way when we did the survey and we looked at the recommendations. It was kind of staring me in the face that, you know, I couldn't live with myself unless I took some steps to change things. And I had waited for better or worse, right or wrong. I had kind of waited for other things to happen. We've been going through lots of transition in GSA for years. And so I had kind of waited for other people to do things, you know, at different levels. And so I decided it was an excuse and it was time for me to kind of take control over it. So, it was important to me. And it is important to the managers and the leaders in our office that we take this seriously. And there's a couple things about the book where it talks about, you know, intentional connectors and intentional disconnectors. And one of the things, you know, I feel like I'm an intentional connector, but the thing that resonated with me was even intentional connectors make mistakes or they're not perfect. And so for me, this is really about a journey. I don't think that we're there yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're never really there. And if you think you're there, that's a mistake too.
Uh-huh.
You have to constantly get the feedback that, you know, you may not want to hear and, you know, constantly address the issues. So, but when you read, you know, when you feel respected at work, when you have, you know, you feel that what you do is valued, you're recognized for the talents that you have, you have some autonomy within your organization, and people really take you seriously, and you're allowed to grow in your career, I think you know, it's to have a more productive, creative and fired up workforce, you can't go wrong there. And it makes it a lot more fun, too. And I really think you should have fun when you go to work every day.
And Michael, your book does deal with that. And Fired Up or Burned Out, we should make sure and get the name out there so people... And we have a link to it both on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And mm-hmm. I have it on my blog, too, dorabeckinsider.com, which you can find right from federalnewsradio.com. So go out and it's well worth reading. How do you get people... Because it seems like one of the challenges, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started, that oftentimes in government agencies, because they tend to be larger organizations, they can feel a little like they're not really part of the mission. Martha's group is lucky. They're right on the front lines, and it's very clear what you're doing or not doing. But it can happen that you don't. How does a leader help people feel like they are part? They make that connection, make that value.
Yeah, Chris, it's I think one thing that's really important, most leaders don't understand, that research has shown that emotional factors in the workplace are 4 times as important as rational factors when it comes to the amount of effort people put in their work. In other words, do employees feel connected to the people they work with? Do they feel connected to the organization's mission, its values, its reputation? Do they feel connected to the decision-making process so that they're informed and have a voice, not necessarily a vote, but at least a voice to express their opinions and ideas on matters that are important to them? And so I believe, based on our research, that most leaders are focused on task excellence alone, but they don't realize the importance of being intentional about developing relationship excellence too. And so much of these emotional connections are based on the relationships we have with people in the organization, that we have those conversations and stay connected to them. Just a great example is Michael Jordan, the story of Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls basketball dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
You go back, and Doug Collins was the coach. If you're basketball fans or remember the history of that, he was the coach of the Chicago Bulls when Jordan was drafted in 1984. And he was a superstar, of course. And Doug Collins was, nobody could work harder than Collins did trying to crack the code and come up with the strategy to propel the Chicago Bulls into the NBA championship. But it didn't happen. And for 5 years, now they certainly improved over that period, but they didn't live up to management's expectations. So after 5 years, they decided to make a coaching change. They elevated Phil Jackson, who we know today is the coach of the LA Lakers.
Right.
Jackson came in, and instead of harping on the other players, saying, guys, you aren't putting out, you aren't supporting Michael, you know, he can't do it all alone, he sat down with Jordan instead, and he said, Michael, you need to connect with your teammates. If you don't surrender the me for the we and develop relationships with your teammates so that you trust them and they get to know you and trust you, we'll never be NBA champions. And the beauty of that story is, I think a young guy who was making $30 million off the court a year could have easily said, you know, who are you to tell me what mm-hmm. to do, Phil? But he didn't. He started coming to practice early, working with the rookies. If you remember, there was a big brouhaha about Jordan taking some of his teammates gambling in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
He was connecting in the ways he connects. He was playing poker and golf and spending time with his teammates. And he also began to trust them. That's when you saw a metamorphosis of the Chicago Bulls. He started passing to people like B.J. Armstrong and Steve Kerr and John Paxson. The next 8 years, the Bulls won 6 NBA championships. Mm-hmm. The 2 years they didn't win, Michael was off playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a couple points there. Number one, we need our stars.
Yeah.
Some people have such prodigious talents. They have a huge effect on the organization. But if the stars get all the attention and the stars don't have the self-awareness to know it's important for them to reach out and connect and help their teammates, they won't play at the top of their game either. And that plays out in federal government organizations too. You have a lot of political appointees coming in who certainly feel like they're stars.
Right.
And but it's important for them to really be intentional and respect the intelligence and the work of the other government workers and reach out and connect with them. And that's when you create a team that can really win.
There's a nugget there that I want to dig into when we come back from the break, and I'm amazed at how fast the clock is getting away from me, and I'm grateful for you being here. Michael Lee Stollard is author of the book Fired Up or Burned Out, How to Reignite Your Team's Passion, Creativity, and Productivity. And we'll come back with him, with Chris Dorabeck, and with Martha Orris in just a few moments on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Mike Vaccara. President Obama was quick to let the world know he's ready to sign a bill passed by Congress giving the FDA new powers to regulate and restrict cigarettes.
And changes the way Washington works and who Washington works for.
For the first time, the Food and Drug Administration will have the authority to examine what goes into tobacco products, ban ingredients deemed dangerous to health, and limit marketing and sales, especially to children. The polls are closed, but Iranians turned out in what could be record numbers to elect a president. NBC's Richard Engel says Iran is divided about keeping hardliner Mahmoud Ahmadinejad or choosing a more moderate challenger who appeals to young Iranians.
Almost no one in this country, particularly the government, expected that the students would turn out in the tens of thousands to demand change.
And NASA says the countdown to tomorrow morning's launch of the space shuttle couldn't be going any smoother. Endeavor will be delivering a final piece to the space station. I'm Mike Vaccara, NBC News Radio.
Being ready, a true story from Farmers Insurance. Ricky, a farmer's client.
I'm a fireman. I'm gone to 4 weeks at a time.
Maureen Martinez, a farmer's agent.
We had a discussion about what he wanted to protect that helps me to build a comprehensive insurance package.
Being prepared is the number one thing you need to do.
Are you this ready? Get to know a farmer's agent today. For auto, home, business, or life insurance, visit farmers.com because ready feels good.
Trust. It's something you earn through hard work and respect. Midas wants to earn your trust. It begins with an oil change and includes a tire rotation and a visual brake check, all for just $24.99. Come see us. We'll give you our best. The $24.99 oil change. Midas. We're on this road together.
Up to 5 quarts multi-grade oil, taxes, and synthetics extra. Shop fees may apply. Most vehicles limited time offer at participating Midas.
Profile America, Friday, June 12th. The Baseball Hall of Fame was dedicated 70 years ago today in Cooperstown, New York. More than 200 players, managers, and owners have been enshrined in the hall, the first of its kind for any sport. The first players chosen were Ty Cobb, Honus Wagner, Babe Ruth, Christy Mathewson, and Walter Johnson. And on this day in 1880, the sport saw its first perfect game. Lee Richmond, pitching for the Wooster Ruby Legs of the National League, did not allow a single Cleveland Indian player to reach first base, setting a goal only a few pitchers have attained to this day. Even though Major League Baseball is well over a century old, it draws nearly 81 million fans annually to its games. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
On the next episode of the Fred Federal Show.
Euphrates, aren't you supposed to be in the hospital?
You guys had better hurry. I feel awful.
The disease has spread to 40 states now, military personnel and civilians alike.
If it progresses much more, our hospitals won't be able to accommodate the influx of patients.
Fred, things are getting worse. There's a car waiting out front to take you to GJ. That's all I can say now.
The Fred Federal Show, this week on Federal News Radio.
Join host Clarence Crawford, a former federal CFO, for Federal CFO Insights on Wednesday, June 17th at 1 p.m. The show will focus on the cost of safety, practicing strong financial management in an environment focused on security. The guest will be Gloria Jarman, Chief Administrative Officer of the U.S. Capitol Police Department. Don't miss Deloitte's Federal CFO Insights program on Wednesday, June 17th at 1 p.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Is there a heroine in technology in your company? If so, the March of Dimes would like you to nominate her for the 9th Annual Heroines in Technology Awards. The awards recognize women who use their experience, knowledge, and skills to benefit our community. Nominees will be considered from all segments of the technology industry, including telecommunications, government, and the internet. The deadline for nominations is July 31st. For more information, visit marchofdimes.com/metro DC.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and this is the fourth meeting. Is that right? Fourth, Chris?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm muffing the numbers. I don't know why, but this is the fourth meeting of the Federal News Radio Book Club, and our book this month is Fired Up or Burned Out, How to Reignite Your Team's Passion, Creativity, and Productivity. Michael Lee Stollard is the author, and he's our guest in studio, and thank you again for being with us. And Martha Doris of the General Services Administration recommended this book to us. Do you think these are different leadership times in the federal government, Martha? Are there new skill sets that you and your peers are needing to apply because of changes in the workforce or whatever? Or are you just trying to build on the things that you've learned throughout your career but the leadership style and the way that you lead has stayed the same? Which do you think it is?
I actually think that this has been important all along. I think that relationships, you know, in Washington, D.C. and everywhere, but, you know, the relationships really make a difference, whether it's within your own, you know, vertical organization, whether it's horizontal across your organization or your agency, you know, between the government and the private sector, those relationships make a big difference. So I'm just a firm believer, and it's so soft and intangible that it's very difficult to, you know, put the value to it. So that was one of the things that really, really hit me, was the ability to actually put a value, hardcore numbers on relationships.
And I think one of the challenges that's in here is, the feds, the government loves to measure stuff. And then you can chart it as a red, yellow, green, or right, put it on some dashboard or something. A lot of the stuff that you're talking about is kind of hard to measure in a real way. Are there some ways that, as a leader, you can actually measure how you're doing on some of this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can measure employee engagement, and I think that's a best practice that organizations who really take this issue seriously, they assess employee engagement. The Corporate Executive Board, who's based here in D.C., did a study in 2004, 50,000 individuals worldwide. They concluded that the average individual who felt engaged and connected was 20% more productive than the average employee. Now, the effect of 20% compounded over, say, a 20-year career.
That's a day out of a week.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
So there's no question. The evidence that we've just have the tip of the iceberg in the book, but the evidence is beyond any reasonable doubt that connection, emotional connections through the you know, how we, whether or not we connect with the identity of the organization, the people we work with, and our individual role in the organization, it has an enormous effect on whether or not individuals and organizations thrive.
Michael, I'm going to do something I don't normally do, and that's accentuate the negative, because I think in this case it's really important. We've talked for the first half of this interview about how important connecting is, and Martha's talked about it in her organization. You've cited examples. The Michael Jordan example is probably the best one in the book, although there are a ton of other great ones. What happens when leaders don't do this stuff? What happens when they are isolated and all these negative traits that you've seen in your research, that Martha talked about, people feeling or not feeling in her organization? What happens when people don't do it?
Yeah, Francis, that's a great question. And here's what happens every time. And this pattern is really repeated in organizations throughout history, that people who have power and influence in organizations and the stars who have some influence, they feel connected. And so as a result, they give their best effort and they fully communicate. But 75 to 80% of the people in the organization don't feel connected. Because they don't feel connected, they stop caring, they stop giving their best efforts, they stop fully communicating, and decision makers don't get the information they need to make optimal decisions. So as a result, they make suboptimal decisions, and the performance of the organization spirals down.
If I could then ask you to apply that concept to the example, your own personal example that you gave when you moved from Chicago to New York, took the new job with Morgan Stanley and started to engage your people. Had you been the latest in a series of people who were just trying to get buy-in and were going to go and do your own thing, talk about the way that you collected information that resulted in the bottom line results that you write about in the introduction that we discussed earlier, how that specifically wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, Morgan Stanley, where I worked, was a great organization. It already was performing at a very high level. But what I found was that when I was more inclusive, you know, one of the organizations I've worked with that's revising its leadership training course to add this material is General Electric.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was at Morgan Stanley, when I went out and started sharing information with the sales force, this was mostly people on the front lines, and asking them what's right. I always had asked those three questions: what's right, what's wrong, what's missing from my thinking? Mm-hmm. And then I just shut up and listened to them. Mm-hmm. And we recorded the results, and I followed up and said, here's what I heard in an email. I would say, here's what I heard, and here's what I'm going to do about it. And here are things I can't do and something about and why. Mm-hmm. And it really kept them in the loop. And I just found that they were more energetic because they were more aware of the organization strategy. They were better able to align their behaviors with where we wanted to go. So it increases strategic alignment, which mm-hmm. is another key factor for success of leaders.
The reason I ask you that is because the idea sometimes, not just in your book, but in any kind of management and leadership kind of ideas, can get abstract. And so to be able to pin those down to an example where a leader can say, yes, I've been in that situation, and as you explained, I think is very valuable.
One of the other points that I just want to, it's interesting because, you know, there ends up being a theme through our four book clubs. Our first book was The Speed of Trust by mm-hmm. Stephen M. R. Covey. And trust, and you were talking about it earlier, just so critical to build those. And sort of our takeaway from The Speed of Trust was that trust isn't a static thing. It needs to be maintained, needs mm-hmm. to be fostered.
It's organic.
And it can be, even if you make a mistake and somehow pull it apart, it's something that can be put back together again. It's not Humpty Dumpty. It can be put back together again. Mm-hmm. And this your book talks about this a lot. In fact, we mentioned the name again, Fired Up or Burned Out by Michael Lee Stallard. You talk a lot about trust. How critical is trust in sort of this whole process?
Well, it's one of a handful of factors that you find in organizations that achieve sustainable superior performance. You find trust, you find employee engagement, you find a sense of optimism and can-do spirit about getting things done. So there are a number of factors, but trust, when you stop and think about it, is really critical in terms of knowledge management too and decision-making mm-hmm. that if you don't trust, people learn from experience that it's not safe oftentimes to express opinions that are inconsistent with what the majority believes or what a particular leader needs.
And it's such an issue in government where, you know, just total lack of people making mistakes. And so, and that sort of just completely undercuts the whole trust issue.
Yeah, and that's what I tell leaders, Chris, that it is your job to be intentional about developing a safe atmosphere where you go out and you ask for people to share their opinions and ideas. And you especially want opinions that are different than what you're thinking, because that person may be right. Now, history and research shows that the consensus is usually right, but not always. And it's those times when it's not right that you can really get blindsided and actually threaten the survival of many organizations. Yeah. So,
all right, we've got to squeeze in another break, Michael. We'll be back in just a moment to continue our conversation about the book, Fired Up or Burned Out, How to Reignite Your Team's Passion, Creativity, and Productivity, on the Federal News Radio Book Club on In Depth with Francis Rose. Back in a moment at Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Jane Norris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the changing administration and how it impacts every part of your agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
You wouldn't drive your kids in the car without them wearing their seatbelts, so why leave them unprotected when you're gone? I'm Wayne Zell, and at Zell Law, we help protect your assets for your heirs and keep them from the IRS and creditors. Zell Law, dedicated to helping you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Call me at 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com. And join me every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth right here on 1500 a.m. and 820 a.m.
Defense Information Systems Agency and Joint Task Force Global Network Operations is hosting a career expo on Saturday, June 13th from 9 to 3 at the JHU Applied Physics Lab in Laurel. Learn about DISA career opportunities as the agency prepares to move to Fort Meade, Maryland in 2010. This expo is free and open to the public, but you must be a U.S. citizen to attend. Bring your resume. Interviews will be held on site. To learn more and pre-register, visit DISA.mil/conferences. DISA.mil/conferences.
Hi, this is David and Nikki Nellis. We're dishing it out, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
Join us next Sunday, June 14th. We'll be talking about the Rammy winners, find out who won what and what we ate. And, of course, we'll have lots of surprise guests and good cocktails to boot.
That's Dishing It Out every Sunday live at 11 on 1500 and 820 a.m.
Hi there, I'm Christopher Dorabek with a peek at what we're working on for this afternoon's Daily Debrief. We've been following the commission investigating Iraq wartime contracting. Alan Shavakin of the Professional Services Council testified before that commission, and we'll talk to him. And we'll bring you the first in a series of conversations about women in government and some Friday fun tips about what to do for the weekend. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabek and Amy Morris, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, this is Amtower, host of Amtower Off Center. Start your week off with a dose of reality, Amtower style, Monday afternoons at noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you want to know what it takes to do business with the federal government, my show is required listening. I've been around the block and I call it like I see it. That's Amtower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our guest in the studio is Michael Lee Stollard. He is the author of Fired Up or Burned Out, How to Reignite Your Team's Passion, Creativity, and Productivity. And it is our choice this month for the Federal News Radio Book Club. And I need to apologize right now because we've only got about 10 minutes left before they kick me out of here. Chris will actually do it personally, and you'll see it's actually quite humorous to watch. Yeah. And I've got to squeeze in another commercial break before. If somebody takes away only one idea from the book, if they read this, it's a great read, it's a quick read, and the text part of it is about 200 pages, so it's not going to take you forever. What do you want somebody to take away from this more than anything else?
Well, if I were to choose one idea, it would be the importance of giving all employees a voice in matters that are important to them.
And that doesn't mean you have to do everything they tell you.
No.
Okay.
It doesn't, but that's so critical. Just one story, if it's okay to
please
share it,
yes,
is in World War II. You know, we just celebrated recognized the anniversary of D-Day recently, June 6th, and back after D-Day, the Allies secured the beaches of France, and the military planners had planned that obviously, but they didn't look ahead to the hedgerow country of France. And what happened was, a hedgerow country, by the way, is if you were to look at it aerially, it would look like a bunch of rectangles, and the fences that are separating the plots of land are actually berms of dirt with brush on top. They're hedges. Hmm. And as the Sherman tanks progressed into hedgerow country, the front of the Sherman tank would pop up as they crossed those hedgerows, and the Germans would fire into the thin valley of the tank.
Hmm.
It was game over for the Sherman tank, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So for a month, the First Army was stuck. They couldn't progress through the hedgerow country. And a group of officers and enlisted men were hanging around talking about, you know, how do we figure this out? And someone said, well, let's take those shards of steel that Rommel from the German army left on the beaches to slow down an amphibious attack, and let's weld it on the front of a Sherman tank. And people laughed and said, that'll never happen. And however, a sergeant by the name of Curtis Cullen, who's a former cab driver from Chicago, thought maybe it'll work. So he took shards of steel, welded it on the front of a tank. It looked like a rhinoceros, so the soldiers called it a rhino tank. He tested it. It worked. Within roughly a week, Omar Bradley, who was commanding the First Army, was down looking at a demonstration of the rhino tanks. He saw how effective it was, ordered 500 tanks outfitted with he called it Curtis Cullen's cutting device.
Mm-hmm.
And if
have
you
make the government term for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you read his biography, He credits this former cab driver from Chicago and the innovation he came up with for helping to liberate France. Mm. Here's a guy on the front lines. I love Vern Clark, who was the chief of Navy operations from 2000 to 2005. He used to always talk about the genius of our people. That is our competitive advantage. Mm. I believe that's true in every group in government. Just the energy here, the intelligence. But that has to be unlocked by creating a culture where people feel connected.
Mm-hmm. Martha, I imagine that's it really speaks to you, because we talk all the time when it comes to HR and hiring. We want the best and brightest in the government, and we want to hire all these people with all these great skills, and on and on and on. And then in many cultures, you get these people and then you just tell them, we'll go do this. And that's all the feedback they get.
Well, I think one of the things that really speaks to me is we're in the era of open, transparent, participatory government. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we know, we're hearing the results of unearthing these innovative ideas from whether it's the citizens or whether you're in an agency and you do it throughout your agency or your own organization. So, we know that, and technology makes it even easier today with all of the, public dialogue tools and the social media tools. So it's kind of all coming together for me at one time.
Yeah, well, but it also strikes me that, again, going back to this trust aspect, mm-hmm. Because you initially tried the dialogue internally and people were afraid to sort of comment about transparency because they did. I think there's still some trust issues. Am I going to get in trouble about what I say? So it all have to work on all the parts of it together.
I don't think they're afraid in my office to talk about. I mean, in fact, some cases I have to take a deep breath and say, this is the kind of environment I'm trying to create, so you can't get upset about it.
It's your fault, lady. All right, one more break to get in. We'll come back and wrap up in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees, NARF wants you to know that laws can change and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information. Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
This week on Meet the Innovators, brought to you by Google, we talked to Clay Shirky. He's author of Here Comes Everybody.
In a democracy, being able to govern with not just the will, but the participation of the people, that is such a profound alignment of the goals of the government at its most basic level and the things these tools are making possible, that I think in a way it is easier for people in the government to recognize, oh, if I involve the citizens and create something valuable, that's fulfilling a mission.
Bring innovation to your agency with Google. Google's federal team provides innovative technologies the government can use for search, mapping, collaboration, and email security. Visit google.com/federal to learn how these cost-effective technologies can help your agency's employees and customers. Google's enterprise products deliver results fast, just like Google. Put Google Search, Google Maps, Google Earth, and Google Apps to work for your agency. Learn more at google.com/federal.
If your credit card debt has gotten out of control, if you're over your head at monthly payments, here's one powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. You have the right to settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, allowing you to cut your debt up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Consumer Debt Advocate, and we'd like to offer you a free consultation that will help you start eliminating credit card debt. For your free consultation that will set you free, call 1-800-700-4876. Don't ruin your credit by declaring bankruptcy. Settle your debt and move on with your life. During your free consultation, you'll find out what the credit card companies don't want you to know. For your free consultation that will help you settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, call today. The number is 1-800-700-4876. 1-800-700-4876.
The Federal News Radio Community Active Spotlight for June is the National Brain Tumor Society. The National Brain Tumor Society is a leader in the brain tumor community, bringing together the best of research and patient services to be a comprehensive resource for patients, caregivers, researchers, and medical professionals. To learn more, visit braintumor.org or click on Community Active at federalnewsradio.com today.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose, and it is book club meeting number 4, Fired Up or Burned Out, How to Reignite Your Team's Passion, Creativity, and Productivity. And we've been talking all hour long to Michael Lee Stollard, the author of the book, and Martha Doris from GSA. Thank you very much for calling this book to our attention. And one final thought as we get ready to wrap up.
I guess I would say that it is an intentional effort that you have to make to create this environment of a connected and engaged workforce, but you can't do it alone. You need everyone in your organization from the bottom to the top to help you with it.
Chris, one thought to wrap up?
Leadership matters. How's that?
That's pretty succinct.
There you go.
That's the most succinct thing I think I've ever heard you say in my entire life. Michael, thank you so much for being here. I wish you tremendous success with this book. I really think that it's cool that you get the whole government idea. And we didn't even have a chance to get into something that was one of the best discussions we had off the air, which is the difference between government organizations and private sector organizations. So maybe we can get you on the phone sometime in the next couple of weeks or month and get you to talk about that a little bit.
I would love to. Francis, Chris, Martha, thank you for having me. And I'm just encouraged. I think it's a new era in D.C. I think our president is setting a great example of what I call an intentional connector who builds bridges to people rather than burns them. Yeah, so I believe this book is really consistent with what we see from President Obama, and I'm very encouraged by that.